They're going to need it. I'm going to be there on Wednesday too. You still got to come to church though. Well, I'm going to be at his place. Yes, sir. I won't be here. Are you going to be okay? We're going to come on back, Brother Destin. Don't you worry about that. You ain't going to get away from me that easy. Amen. Good. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 tonight. And we're going to try to slow down this evening and see if we can get something from the Bible. Amen. I appreciate God inspiring the text before us tonight. And I appreciate Him preserving it down through the years, even to this generation. I'm glad the Bible says in Matthew 24 that not one jot or one tittle would be removed from this word till all things would be fulfilled. Jesus said, heaven and earth pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I'm glad for that. And aren't you glad for the enduring word of God this evening? Praise God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll pick up our reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. That's a good thing right there, isn't it? That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Lord, we're thankful that the word of God is forever settled in heaven tonight. We're glad that nothing has perished, nor nothing will perish from the word of God. Lord, we're glad it's an abiding book. We're glad that it's a powerful book tonight. Lord, we're glad that it's a preserved book, this truth. But God, I'm glad tonight the Bible doesn't contain the truth tonight. I'm glad that the Bible is truth. I'm glad your word tonight is truth. And I pray, God, you'd sanctify us through truth tonight. God, help us with the preached word of God. Help us. I pray there be correct exposition and declaration from the word of God tonight. Lord, we be not slack in interpreting and in expositing from the word of God tonight. Then, Lord, I pray that our ears wouldn't be slack, that we couldn't hear, but God, would you give us listening ears. Lord, help us to pay attention to every line, every word, everything that you have for us tonight. God, help us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd forever change us tonight because of the attempt made to get to the house of God and hear the word of God. Help us tonight, Lord, is our prayer. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I'll draw your attention back here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means. That'd be a good text to preach out of tonight. We're living in a day of deception. And the Bible says specifically here in verse number 3, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship. Notice this phrase, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In verse 3 and 4 of our text tonight, Paul, under divine inspiration, describes to us what Christ referred to as the abomination of desolation. Christ referred to this event mentioned in verse number 4 specifically in Matthew 24, that great Olivet Discourse where Christ is expounding things concerning the end times. In verse 15, he makes reference to this act whereby this man of sin, the son of perdition, the Bible says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worship, says that that individual sets himself up in the temple of God to be worshipped, showing himself that he is God. So this setting, this action, this situation before us tonight, not referred to by Christ as the abomination of desolation, this sin, if you will, is committed during a time referred to in your Bible as a time of tribulation. During this time of tribulation, I know tonight many of you know this, but of course God's folks would refer to as God's calendar, things like that. I necessarily don't know about God having a calendar, but I do know that one day, and I believe that rapidly approaching, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ arise first. Praise God for that. Amen. Yeah. And then I'm glad that we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Ought to be words of comfort to the child of God. Paul said it's a blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. We're looking for him to come back, praise God. And for them that's looking for him, the Bible says he'll appear the second time without sin and the salvation for those that are looking for that appearing. Well, we're looking for it. Amen. And just any day now, our Lord will be coming. I appreciate the song at the quartet here sings, the sun's a coming up in the morning, praise God. And I'm glad the sun's going to rise with healing in its wings. So the rapture of the church is going to take place. Somebody said the word rapture not in your King James Bible. I agree with that, but neither is cornbread. And I do enjoy a good piece of cornbread. Amen. So that doesn't mean that we can't appreciate it and enjoy it. I'm glad that there is going to be a snatching away, being called away one day. I'm glad I'll bid this world farewell. Praise God. Amen. And I'll rise and cease the everlasting prize. Then during the time that will be hereafter, that blessed event for every child of God, we know there'll be a tribulation period, a time referred to in the Bible known as Jacob's trouble. This isn't an end time message. I'm just trying to lay a little groundwork, if you'll bear with me tonight. A time of Jacob's trouble, time not of the church's trouble. The church age is a parenthetical age. It's an age not referred to really in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, where God is giving there the outline for the span of the ages. It's a parenthetical age, the mystery, praise God, of the church. I'm glad I got to be in it. But during the time after the church is removed, there'll be a time of Jacob's trouble, a time we refer to as a tribulation period, and it'll be a seven-year period that takes place here on the earth. During this time, temple worship will be re-instituted. Folks, we'll go back, the Jews specifically, we'll go back to a Old Testament type religion. Their offering, their sacrifices, the oblations, and they'll do those things for the first part there of the tribulation period. And then you'll find in your Bible, if you want to write this down and look at it later, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, chapter 11, and chapter number 12, three times there God mentions or is in reference to this same principle that we find here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, which we know to be the abomination of desolation, at the time where this man, this man of sin, the son of perdition, will set himself up in the temple of God, and he will declare himself to be God, and then he'll demand worship. And Daniel 9 and Daniel 11 and Daniel chapter 12 all reference this point, and the Bible mentions, God mentions there in all three of those chapters that this man will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. That is what had been prescribed by the law of Moses, the burnt offerings, the sin offerings, all those sacrifices that were commanded there in Levitical times in an Old Testament type theology. The Antichrist, if you will cause those type sacrifices, a form of worship. He'll cause all of that to cease, and he will commit this abomination of desolation. He will set himself up inside of that temple mount, and he will declare to all the world at that point in time that he is God, and he will demand to be worshipped as such. Tonight, I want to preach on the idea out of verse number 4 on worshiping the devil in the temple. Worshiping the devil in the temple. So that's going to take place according to Daniel at chapter number 12 and verse number 11. Looks like I had a little bit of dyslexia. I wrote it down wrong. Amen. I'm glad I caught that. But in Daniel chapter, I wrote Daniel 11, 12. That'd be wrong. Amen. But in Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 11, the Bible states that there was going to be, amen, after this event, after the sacrifice and the oblation have ceased, that there was going to be 1,290 days to remain inside of that time period. If you break down 1,290 days, you'll be left with 3.5 years. So this takes place, of course, according to Daniel chapter 9, this incident of this abomination of desolation, this incident where Antichrist sets himself up in the temple of God to be worshipped as God takes place in the midst of the years. That is, it divides at that time of Jacob's trouble from a venue of regular, if you will, of tribulation to a time known as Great Tribulation, a time that this world has never seen, and that will remain throughout the course, if you will, until the end. Now, it's not the end of time. Of course, we know that there is no end of time. Of course, we know there's the age of ages, but there are certain ends into your Bible. That's why you have to be careful about these folks that say in order to be saved, you got to persevere to the end, because we need to figure out what end the Bible's talking about. Amen. In Matthew 24, of course, in the Olivet Discourse, where Christ tells us that he had to persevere unto the end, he's referring to the end of tribulation, which is what Daniel is in reference to in Daniel 12 and verse number 11, at the end of that tribulation period, 1,290 days. So in the middle of that tribulation period, this event will take place. Antichrist will set himself up in the temple to be worshipped as God. Now, the Antichrist, if you will know a little bit about him, I believe this tonight with all my being, with all of who I am, the Antichrist is the incarnation of Satan himself. He's described in our text tonight in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 a few different ways. In verse number 3, he's referred to as being the man of sin, and also that of being the son of perdition. In verse number 4, he's referred to being the one that opposes and exalts himself above God. In verse number 8, he's referred to as a proper noun, as being wicked. In verse number 9, the Bible mentions that he is after the working of Satan. And I believe his purpose is culminated and climaxed in verse number 12, where the Bible says that they all might be damned. And that's the devil's desire tonight, is to drag you and to drag your family and to drag everybody you know and everybody you don't know. He wants to drag them into the charred walls of the damned. And if he can't get you tonight, he'd love to get your wife. And if he can't get her, he'd love to get your children. And if he can't get them, he'll be fine getting your neighbor, getting your coworker, amen. The end purpose of the devil and that of the Antichrist is that they all might be damned. That's why we find in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 7 through verse number 9, if you're to read that text, the Bible says there was war in heaven. And you find inside that text that old devil, praise God, the old serpent, is cast out of heaven and he's cast down the earth. I want to say tonight the reason why God's kicking the devil out is because the devil has no place in the holy place. The devil, amen, praise God tonight. There's no room for the devil around the things of God. Are you listening to me? Amen. If it's born of God, If it deals with God, we ain't got no place for the devil. Amen. Therefore, because of these things, can I say tonight that we are against worshiping the devil in the temple? What a horrific scene is placed before us in the Bible when we find out that the devil himself is going to demand that the world worship him in the temple. You understand, the temple was a holy place. It was a separated place, a sacred place, if you will. It was a place of worship, at worship of the only true and living God, worship of Jehovah. Amen. Is a picture, a complete picture, if you will, of the mediatorial office of Jesus Christ. Of course, there's only one door, one way to get in. Praise God. There's just one way to the pearly gates. Amen. And you couldn't get in without going by that old altar. Amen. By the sacrifice. You had to get in by the blood. Praise God for the laver and the lampstand and the table of showbread. All of those items, amen, wonderful in typologies. But can I say there was one thing, amen, there's one thing that the temple didn't have room for, and that was the devil, amen. And listen, these bunch of compromisers in our day that are, amen, inside their house of worship. If I can say it like this, I don't think you'll throw stones at me, but inside their temple, inside their holy place, they ain't doing nothing tonight but a worshiping the devil, amen. Hey, they've got a bunch of, amen, rap and roll, rock and roll and rap. They got a bunch, amen, bunch of harlots up on the platform, a bunch of preachers' wives walking around in hold up blue jeans, amen. A bunch of loose living, amen. Amen, friend. A bunch of, amen, bunch of bikini wearing, amen, necklace wearing, amen, men, amen, friend. And this ain't nothing but a bunch of devil worship going on in the temple today. I'm against that. Hey, are y'all against a bunch of that, man? Hey, you're looking at one, praise God, and still against worship of the devil in the temple, amen. They worship their little G gods. They worship their little preacher. They worship their little pope. They worship their little set of doctrinal rules. They worship their denominations. They worship, amen, their man-made traditions. Hey, are you listening? I'm against all that mess. There ain't but one tonight that ought to be worshipped. Thank God his name's Jesus Christ. As one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God. The Bible says that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Praise God. Amen. So we're against it. Amen. I'm a bunch of wicked boards. I'm a bunch of tarot cards. Amen. I'm against a bunch of, amen, genie mess. And amen, amen, friend. I'm getting around to it in a minute. Amen. A bunch of zombie mess, vampires. I'm against a bunch of Twilight. Amen. I'm against Harry Potter. Amen. Yes, sir, friend. You look at somebody that's against all that mess. And if you had any sense about you, you'd be against it. Amen. Listen, and you wouldn't be going around on your phone just because you don't watch it anymore and looking up, still keeping up with it. Amen. Amen. And going to the websites and trying to find, amen, friend. I'm against all of that bunch of men. I'm against worshiping the devil tonight. Amen. I hope you're against it. How many of y'all against worshiping the devil? Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? It's in Acts chapter 7, verse number 48. Stephen declares God, the Most High, dwelleth not in temples made by man's hands. Amen. God tonight doesn't dwell in anything you and I have made. But God does dwell in what he has made. And out of the dust of the ground, God formed you and me. I don't understand it all, but I do know this, that when a man is converted from the error of his way, when he's regenerated, when he's born again, in some way, shape, or form, God indwells the believer. It's not a second blessing. It's nothing that you look forward to after a point of salvation. But simultaneous action is the Holy Ghost of God moving in on the inside of you. Paul wrote it down this way. He said, He's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Y'all still against worshiping the devil in the temple?
Yeah.
I want to ask us a question tonight. What in the world do we think we're doing then every time we bow the knee to sin? Every time we fall victim to temptation, every time with a willing heart to we succumb to the temptations, the snares, the traps, the wiles, the schemes, the whatever you want to call it. Every time the devil comes our way and places something in front of us and we bow down to his command, we bow down to his suggestion, we bow down to his offer, we're guilty of the same thing that Christ posed in Matthew 24 as the abomination of desolation, and we have set the devil up in our heart. We've worshiped him. The question tonight is not whether or not we've been guilty of devil worship in the temple. The question tonight is, how did I ever let this happen? Amen. If I was to come to you this evening and I was to ask you, before having preached the message tonight, if I was to ask you, have you been worshiping the devil in your life? Of course, all of us tonight, and I would have probably too before I studied it, before God helped me with it, we'd all said, no, sir, I never do that, preacher, amen. And for the most part tonight, I think we're good. I think I could come home with most of you, and I wouldn't find any Harry Potter videos. I don't think I'd see any Sabrina the Teenage Witch videos. I don't think we'd find any Amen, I Love Jeannie or Bewitched. I don't think we'd find anything. Amen. I don't think we'd find much of anything like that. Chronicles of Narnia. I don't like that mess. Somebody say amen. And Wizard of Oz. I'm against it. I don't like it. I don't fool around with it. Amen. Listen, what I'm saying tonight is, that's fine. It's wonderful. And I'm glad about that. God would have us to know tonight, I believe from the Bible, that the devil's coming in a different form, in a different way than we've expected. So we're going to answer the question tonight, how did I ever let this happen? How have I or how could I ever become guilty of worshiping the devil inside of the temple? Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, the way this happens, number one, there has to be a permission for him to appear. Permission is given for him to appear inside of the text tonight. Verse number 3, the Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that, watch it now, that man of sin be, watch it, has to be revealed. That is, he has to appear. I want to say, listen, there's coming a day where this man of sin, this son of perdition, is going to appear. That is, he's going to be revealed. Now, in studying, if we were to go along eschatological themes tonight, and in talking about this Antichrist being revealed, I'd believe tonight that if we are living in that day and in that age to where this is all going to happen, you understand that if the rapture is to happen in our generation, if the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout during my lifetime, then that means tonight that the Antichrist is alive and well this evening, and he is alive. Now listen to me very carefully. You don't know who he is, and I don't know who he is. He's not Obama, amen. He's amen. Men like to put their pick out and hand choose who they think he might be and all that kind of stuff. Well, the fact of the matter is, from the scriptures tonight, the Bible never told you to look for the Antichrist. The Bible told you to look for the Christ. Amen. Amen. But here inside the text, we must come to grips with the fact that, that when this day happens, amen, that when he is to be revealed, it means that he's been there all along. He's been, amen, he's got his house, if it is to happen in our generation, and he's got his house, and perhaps he's got his family, and he drives a vehicle, and he has a profession, a career, if you will. He has a bank account, and he eats breakfast, and he eats lunch, and he eats supper, and he goes through a daily routine. What I'm saying is he's there the whole time, and that something happens whereby he is given permission to appear. Something happens whereby this old devil is able to be revealed. In verse number 3, the Bible states very plainly, now that day, in reference to all of this coming to pass, and the Antichrist being revealed, and God eventually coming back, all of that is set in motion. The Bible says, for that day shall not come to pass, or shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Amen. You say, preacher, how did I let this happen? How did I give permission for that old devil to appear in my life and do what he's done? I want to say, first of all, he's been there all the while. He's been around you. Amen. He's been walking. The Bible says, amen, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And the devil's walking up and down the earth. When God asked him in Job 1, he said, devil, where you been? He said, I've been walking up and down in the earth and in the midst of it, amen. He's a walking around tonight, and I wonder when he walks by you, does he see somebody that he can tear to bits? Amen. And that's what the devils are doing. But something happens, according to verse number 3, that allows him to be revealed. And that event that allows him to be revealed is referred to as a falling away. Now watch it. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. If I can get this out of the way, I'll give to you the message. Amen. The Bible says, abstain from all appearances of evil. And listen, I appreciate that verse. That verse has helped me. But for years now, I've only seen that verse in one light. And I praise God for having seen it in that light, because it's helped me. Brother James, I think you'd agree with me tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5:22's primary interpretation would mean for me not to put myself in a setting of evil. I am to abstain from all appearances of evil. Amen. In other words, if it looks wrong, it is wrong. Amen. The appearance of evil. But it's taken me, I'm a slow learner, y'all pray for me. It's taken me almost 14 years now to come to grips with maybe a deeper understanding of 1 Thessalonians 5:22. I believe tonight, not only does it deal with not putting myself in a setting of evil, but I believe secondly tonight that it means for me not to allow evil to be in my presence. Amen. Yes, sir. See, a lot of us may pride ourselves on not going into the bars and going into the strip joints. And we may pride ourselves that it's been a long time since we've darkened the door of a theater. And we're proud about those things. I understand there's an element where that may be permissible in moderation. But listen to me. It'll do us no good tonight not to go those places and to welcome it inside of our homes. Amen. And while most of us tonight are doing well by abstaining from the appearance, that is the setting of going places that are deemed wrong, and by, amen, by the preacher and by the Bible, we are failing miserably tonight by allowing sin and evil to be in our presence. Amen. We let it come in forms of the radio. And we let it come in forms of magazines. And we let it come in forms of novels. and we let it come in forms of videos, and we let it come in forms of satellite, and we let it come in forms of cable television, amen, and we let it come in forms of DVDs and the Blu-ray. Somebody say amen. We let it come in forms of computer screens and iPhones and tablets and MP3 players, and we let it come in just by a different venue, and we think we're doing well because we're not going to it out there, when in all reality you can sit in the confines of your home and allow evil to spring up right beside you. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 101 verse number 3, I will set no wicked thing before me. He said, I will. Are you listening? He said, I will not allow evil to be in my presence. Amen. So we see then that this day comes by a falling away. Permission, if you will, is given tonight through apostasy. The word, the two words falling away in the Greek is one word, apostia, and English translation that just simply means apostasy. And we understand that, that we are living in days of apostasy, that in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. And we're living there. We're living in days of apostasy. Amen. At the Greek word, this Greek word for apostasy appears in three different forms inside of your New Testament, and each one of them gives us a little bit better insight as to how you and me are given permission for the devil to come in and take up root inside of our lives. The first place that it's mentioned is in Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 7, and it's mentioned by the word divorcement. And there's where Christ is in reference to the law of Moses, and those Pharisees are questioning whether or not it's permissible for them to put away their wives. And Christ mentions the word or the idea of divorcement by using this word of apostasy. Now, so then we get the first meaning, if you will, of how we're giving the devil permission, amen, to appear in our lives. The word here in Matthew 19:7 has the idea of breaking a union. Amen. Can I say tonight that we're giving the devil permission to come in our lives, to come in our heart? We're giving him permission to appear in what we're doing by breaking a union. That is a covenant agreement. And listen to me tonight. You ought to set a covenant with yourself and with God tonight. And that some of us have broken those covenants. Amen. How many times have we came down to an altar and said, God is yours, and we've made a covenant with God, and we said, God, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to wear that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to go there. And we've made a covenant, and we have divorced those ideas from our thoughts. We have broken union with the covenant agreement we've made with God, and we have entered into a realm of apostasy by breaking the covenant that we've made with our God. Amen. And we've turned and gone the other way. The second time this appears, it appears in the book of Acts chapter 21 and verse number 21. Here it appears in the word to forsake. Amen. And the idea here is not a divorcement, but a departing. And amen. Dr. Luke is pinning down a forsaking. He's accusing. Paul is being accused of forsaking the law of Moses. Here inside this departing, it means to disregard. So a second way that we're given permission for the devil to appear in our life is not by simply breaking a union, but it is by disregarding what is already there. Amen. Have we not been guilty of that? We know what's there. Paul knew the law of Moses was there. He hadn't nullified it. He hadn't broken union with it, but he was being accused of disregarding it. Amen. Hey, how many of us tonight have been guilty of disregarding the Word of God? Amen. Been guilty of disregarding the Spirit of God as He moved on inside of us. Guilty of disregarding what our parents' wishes may be for us. Disregarding what the pastor has been preaching. Amen. Yes, sir. So therefore, we've entered into a realm of apostasy. The third time we see it inside the Scriptures, we see it here in our text in verse number 3. where it's mentioned as a falling away, here it's not a breaking of a union. Here it's not a disregarding, but here it is a gradual worsening. In other words, the idea of verse number 3, what beckons at the presence of the devil inside of your life, listen to me, what would beckon the presence of the devil inside of your marriage, inside of your family, inside of your business, inside of your Christian life, what would beckon, what would give him permission, what would allow him, what would invoke him, what would give him the opportunity to appear inside of your life in the capacity of who you are is simply by gradually declining from God. In other words, it's been very, very few. Now there have been. I'm not saying emphatically, but it's been very few folks that I've watched in the Christian life that just all of a sudden throw it down and said, "I don't want anything else to do with it." But oftentimes what's happened is that we woke up one morning, we were too busy to read our Bibles, so we didn't read it. And we woke up another day and we find ourselves to be too busy to pray, so we didn't pray. And then we find ourselves strapped for money one week, and we decided to skip out of our tithes or maybe our missions offering. And we found out that God didn't kill us when we didn't read our Bible. And we found out God didn't kill us when we didn't pray. And we found out that God didn't give us leprosy when we didn't tithe. So then we stopped going soul winning. And we stopped passing out gospel literature. Amen. And then Sunday school wasn't that important to us. And it's a gradual. We're just noticing tonight that folks have, just the way folks work themselves in, and they work themselves out, and we just start doing less than we were. That's the way most folks leave the will of God, little by little, inch by inch. Amen. We just gradually slip away. That's the idea of Hebrews chapter 2, where Paul writes and he says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." The idea is they don't, Brother Mark, just vanish away from our memory, but one by one we forget the precepts. One by one we forget the Word of God. One by one we forget those messages. One by one we forget those committals. One by one we forget all of those things. And before long, we've made shipwreck in the faith. But it didn't happen. It wasn't a Euroclodon. It wasn't a hurricane or a tornado. It was just a gradual worsening. That's the idea of verse number 3 in our text, a falling away. Tonight, can I warn you, if you're doing less today than you were yesterday, you better watch. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnestly things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Not if we reject it, but if we just simply set it on the shelf and we don't have anything to do with it. It's a way that we have allowed the devil to simply appear in our lives. It's a deteriorating. It doesn't happen all at once, but it's a process. You say, "Preacher, what ways have I given permission to the devil to appear in my life?" You jot it down, peer pressure. You know how the devil will appear inside in your life? Now listen, this is for the young people, but it's not only for the young people. Right. I find out as older I get that I'm still faced with peer pressure. Sure. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And the idea here tonight is that as I am influenced by what my peers say, my peers just aren't 15 years old anymore. Amen. But as I am influenced, now listen to me, I could preach right there. I know some 30-year-olds that still are influenced by 15-year-olds, and that's why you have some 30-year-olds dressing like they are 15-year-olds. I think that we ought to have some 15-year-olds dressing like the 30-year-olds. But instead we got some 30-year-olds dressing like they're 15-year-olds. And they still think they should dress up an American Eagle. Yeah, amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Here's the time to graduate maybe to JCPenney's. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're doing well tonight. Praise God. Amen. It's an idea of fear. You see, what that does is that invites, are you listening? That invites the devil, that gives the devil the permission he needs to come in and start whispering and say, "Well, don't you want to be like?"
See, you understand how it invokes the devil into our life? Just simple peer pressure, just simply wanting to have what they have and do what they do and be like them. The devil has a foothold to get into our lives. Peer pressure. I thought about this, entertaining, just simply entertaining wrong ideas invites the very presence of the devil. Amen. It is a folding away, if you will. If all I do is entertain the wrong notions. I thought about this, the activities that we engage ourselves in. Amen. Yes, sir. If you can't do it, listen to me. If you can't do it and talk right, and if you can't do it and dress right, yes, sir. Yeah. If you can't do it and be right, then it's wrong.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen. Amen. If you can't do it and do it right, you ain't got no business doing it. I don't have any business doing it.
Right.
Amen. 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 What would y'all think about the pastor of East Carolina Baptist Church working for Anheuser-Busch? Working for Jeffries, amen. Hey, what would you think about the preacher driving a truck, amen, out delivering cold beers? Amen. Yes, sir. You wouldn't want, hey, but what's, amen. So what's so bad about that? And you got a job where you can't dress right at it. Amen. Yes, sir. Ain't got no business doing it, amen. That boy got to wear a necklace, amen. Ain't got no business doing it. Everybody okay? Amen. Yes, sir. So activities we engage in, I thought about this, invites the appearance of the devil in our lives is the people that we're constantly around. Not just the idea of peer pressure, but he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Amen. How did I ever let this happen? How did I start worshiping the devil inside of my temple? I'll tell you how you did. You gave him permission to appear. Secondly, tonight, not only is a permission to appear granted to him, but there's a place that is administered. Notice with me back in our text in verse number 4, the Bible says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, the Bible says, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Y'all see that? So this devil, this man of sin, this son of perdition, this man that opposes and exalts himself above all that's called of God, the Bible says that he as God sitteth in the temple. You take note of it tonight, that he had a place reserved for him. There was a place for the devil to sit down. Somebody had made preparation and had given the devil a seat. So he moved out of the realm of inviting him, and we moved into the realm of helping him to abide with us. Amen. Ephesians 4:27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. How many of us have been guilty of giving the devil room? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4, the Apostle Paul warns us and he's instructing us in the fact that there is such a thing referred to as strongholds. You understand what a stronghold is? It's a military term. It's when a military group of some kind, whether they're Army or Navy, or it wouldn't be Air Force, amen. But it would be some military advancement, whereby the military have come in, and maybe they've taken over a city, they've taken over a piece of ground, a territory, if you will, and they have declared it theirs. And by that right, they have issued it as a stronghold. In other words, they've conquered this territory. And they're using it as a place to launch other attacks. Amen. They're using it as a posting point. They're using it as a place where they can make other attacks on other parts of that specific territory. That's the idea of a stronghold. And by giving place to the devil, by inviting him into your life, by inviting his appearance, can I tell you what we do next is we make room for him to stay a little while. And of course, what the devil does is he takes over that region of our life and he creates a stronghold, and then he begins attacking other areas of our life. The reason why we preach so strong on addictions is because addictions would be in that category of what we refer to as a stronghold. Amen. Yes, sir. And the idea, listen, addictions are more than cigarettes. They are cigarettes, but they're more than cigarettes. There's more addictions than alcohol, more addictions than drugs. Amen. When you've got to have something put inside of your body to make you function throughout a day, normally you have a problem. Amen. I know we get ourselves into trouble preaching like that, but it's the truth. There's strongholds. Revelation 2:13. The church at Pergamos was founded, the Bible says, where Satan's seat is. Where Satan's seat is. See, these are places where the devil was simply given an opportunity, and he took it. That's all that happened. It's all that happened for the devil to take a stronghold. It's all that happened for somebody to give a place to the devil. It's all that happened for the devil to set his seat in the city of Pergamos. All that had happened was one simple invitation. And the devil takes you up on that invitation. He sets up rule and domain inside of our lives. We can look at it. I'm not going to preach from here long. But inside of Revelation chapter 2 and speaking about the church of Pergamos, we can say a few things about them. Number one, they were deceived. He talks about them having a doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things God says, I hate. They were deceived. Somebody had told them that it was okay. The doctrine of Balaam, he goes into what that doctrine was. It was okay for them to eat meats that had been sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. Somebody had come in there, some so-called preacher, a prophet of the day. Balak had come in and he said, no. It's okay for you to do that. It's okay for you to put that inside of your body. It's okay for you to dress like that. It's okay for you to go those places with your boyfriend. It's okay for you to watch those things on television. It's okay. Somebody had just told them it's okay. You know what your problem is? Somebody told you it's okay. Your peers at school told you it's okay. Your coworker told you it was okay. Hey, Oprah Winfrey told you it was okay. Amen. Yes, sir. Hey, Hollywood told you it was fine. Hey, amen. Hey, them sitcoms and episodes, amen, told you it was okay to do that.
Yeah.
Amen. We watch 3 and 4 times, not a week, our shows, and all they have to do is with this illicit relationship, this sexual relationship outside of marriage. This person's murdered. That person's on drugs. This person's at the bar, and he's getting all the ladies. And this guy does that, and everybody loves him. And we're wondering why we're raising a generation that has no morals or no values. Yes, sir. Amen. In fact, we're so addicted to it that if we can't get a night because we're in church, we'll watch it tonight when we get home before we go to bed. Or we'll wake up tomorrow. And if we go 2 or 3 days, then it's like beating on the inside of us. And we can't wait to watch it because we don't want to get behind on it. But some of us are years behind on our Bible reading.
Amen.
Amen. They were simply deceived. Somebody told them, listen to me, somebody said, it's you can do this. Huh? Let me ask you, can I just ask you a question tonight? Simple question, you answer it. Why do you wear what you wear to work? Who told you it was okay? Did God tell you it was okay, or did you tell you it was okay? Did society tell you it was okay? Huh? Amen. Amen. Who told you, hey, what are you going to watch on television tonight? Who told you it was okay to watch that program? Amen. You say, well, he's not here. I can't ask. Well, he's in my house.
Amen.
Just a prayer away. Amen. See, our problem is we're living so carnal. We hadn't heard the voice of God. Are we slowing down enough? Huh? We're deceived. That was a problem over there in Pergamos. They had been deceived, not only deceived, but they had been deterred. They were off track. I have to hurry. They'd become defeated. Satan's seat, Satan's throne. He goes on to say, where Satan dwelleth. There in Pergamos. He said, not only has he got his headquarters over there, but it's where he's moved in at, and he's not planning on leaving anytime soon. A place is administered. Number 3, and we'll be done. The reason why, or the way that we get ourselves into worshiping the devil inside of the temple, we're talking about on the inside of our bodies, is when power is abandoned.
powers abandoned. Look with me in your Bible in verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now here we have it. The great discourse. Who is the he that is opposing the man of sin? We won't get into the big theological argument. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you the truth about it. It's the Holy Ghost. All right. Let's just jump right into this thing. I know y'all are tired of hearing me preach already. Amen. The Holy Ghost of God works as that instrument in keeping the man of sin from being revealed. He's the one that is the restraining power, if you will, that's keeping things at bay. We look around and we see how bad things have gotten. We notice the same-sex marriage and the sodomy, and everybody's running around. We notice the crime rates. We notice what they look like and what they do. We notice how bad television. We notice all these things around us, amen. But when we come to grips with the fact that there is still a restraining power in order during our day, during our age, the Holy Ghost of God is keeping it from getting as bad as it could. It's as bad as it is, but it ain't as bad as it could be. And one day, listen to me, one day the Bible says that this person that is restraining, he's withholding everything coming into reality. One day the Bible says that he will, according to verse number 7, be taken out of the way. So the theological argument then is the Holy Spirit going to be present during the tribulation period? Sure he will be. How do you think men will be saved? Sure he will. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God is represented by the seven spirits of God. They're sent back during the book of Revelation. How in the world do you expect 144,000 people to be sealed without the Holy Ghost of God? Are you listening to me? But we must be confronted with the Scriptures tonight that he is taken out of the way. So the question is, when did the Holy Spirit come then? Did he make his appearance in Acts chapter 2? Of course he didn't make his appearance in Acts chapter 2. I read Genesis chapter number 1 where the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. So we go all the way back to the first chapter of the Bible and the Holy Ghost was already here. Now any Tom, Dick, or Harry can figure out that in this dispensation the Holy Spirit's working in a different manner. He has a different influence. In this dispensation he's sealing folks. He's converting individuals. He's regenerating them. He's birthing them into the family of God. He's the earnest of our inheritance. The seal upon our redemption. So he's working in a different capacity during this age that he didn't work before, and he will not work like that during the tribulation time. Hello, amen. Everybody's radio on tonight. Get tuned into the same station. Amen. So the Holy Spirit's been here the whole time. Amen. But when Christ sent him in this time power, in this ministry, amen, in Acts chapter 2, he came with a different purpose and a different work in mind. So then we find out, amen, I believe this, we find out, amen, that when the rapture of the church happens, the Holy Ghost of God is taken up with the church, amen. My seal goes with me and lands me safely home, amen. So I'm bad in heaven, and then God so dictates to send those seven spirits of God, the seven being the number of perfection. He sends the Holy Ghost back into the world for a different ministry than that which we have before us tonight. Is everybody doing fine so far? So he will be taken out of the way. Watch it. The final instigation that provokes the devil to be worshipped is that the Holy Ghost is being removed from the situation. Theologically, the Spirit will be here during the tribulation as he has always been, but the power of his influence has been changed. Now get this. Once this happens, all restraint is then lost. All restraint is then lost,
And men will dive deeper than they ever have into their human natures, who were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Can I just prove something to you? This is exactly what happened in Noah's day. Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 3, God says, the wickedness of man, just it was escalating. And verse number 3, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Okay? Now, that word strive has been abused. And we've used that verse to make it mean something that I believe it alludes to, but not emphatically does it mean. We've preached that it means that the Holy Ghost is constantly trying to draw us to God. Every person, listen, if you live 55 years of your life lost, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit for 55 years has done this on your life. He's not pulled on you for 55 years. Amen. What does the word strive mean? The word strive means God says, my spirit is not always going to be available to restrain you from doing what you want to do. And I believe in Noah's day that God lifted the Spirit of God in his restraining power. Old Testament theology here. The Spirit of God was there and he was restraining people. And God says, I'm not going to let them do that. I'm going to see how bad off y'all really get. And when God just lifts up the Holy Spirit just for a moment, the Bible says that every imagination of the thoughts of man had become wicked. They reviled their imaginations. Men had corrupted themselves. Their earth was filled with fire. Just for a brief moment, God lifts that influential power of the Holy Ghost, and man is plummeted so far down where God says, it repents me that I made man. I'm going to destroy them, which is exactly what God's going to do at the end of the tribulation with the brightness of his coming when he comes back according to Jude with 10,000s of his saints and the sword of the word of God goes out of his mouth and he kills all those nations that were opposed to him. Why do you think Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man? God says, I'm going to lift that restraining power of the Holy Ghost and I'm going to let you see just how bad man can get. See, what everybody wants right now is for God to leave them alone. What the ACLU wants is for God to leave them alone. They want to leave God alone, and they want God to leave them alone. And they want the Ten Commandments out everywhere and women's liberation movements and all these people. And sad to say, but most preachers want God to leave them alone. And most church-going people, be very careful how I word that. Most church-going people that I know want God to leave them alone. And one day, God's going to give them what they've been wanting. And he's going to lift that influential power. Now listen. This is what's happened in some of your lives already. See, what's happened is the Holy Spirit in his influential power has been so grieved and quenched that it's thereby become suppressed. And now the things that you do that one time used to bother you don't bother you quite so bad. And that's why you're enjoying them the way that you are and why you're escapating around in them. See, let me see if I can bring this thing to a conclusion. By your peer pressure, by your activities you engage in, by the people you hang around with, by the thoughts that you allow yourself to be engaged upon, you have invited the devil to appear inside of your life. And when he showed up, you liked how it felt in your outer man. And for that reason, somewhere inside of your life, you reserved for him a place. And you gave place to the devil. You gave him a stronghold. And he began working out of that. And while it may have not been anything big inside of your life, while it may not have been any horrendous sin when it first started out, when everything first started, you may have been doing fine. But now, little by little, we've watched you slip. And we've watched your mouth. And we've watched your Facebook account. And we've watched your dress code. And we see what you wear at the schoolhouse. And we see what you're pleased to do at work. And you see what activities you're engaging yourself in. And we're noticing all these things about you. And the whole while, You're saying, not me, preacher. I'm not deceived. But it's amazing to me, if you knew you were deceived, would you be deceived? Let me give you this. I'm trying to finish, I promise. The Bible says in our text, if we were to go back down in verse number 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You know what the devil's showing you right now inside of your life? He's showing you lying wonders. He's showing you everything you could have. He's showing you could sleep with that boy. He's showing you could sleep with that woman. Huh? He's showing you how what everybody would think about you once you've done that and how grand it is. He's showing you everything here and with lying wonders. Watch verse number 10. The Bible says that, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Amen. With all deceivableness. You know, the devil's not going to do as much as he can. He's going to deceive you. Ain't that what he did in Pergamos? Didn't he deceive them by the doctrine of Balaam and by the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? That's what he does, and that's what he's doing in some of our lives tonight. And as a result of this, because we've invited the presence of God, the presence of the devil, and because we've given place to the devil at this present time, at the power of God, that is the Holy. You know what you have to fight against the devil? You've got the Spirit of God. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit indeed is willing. And the Holy Ghost of God on the inside. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual darkness. Amen. In high places, praise God. Listen, you ought to be fighting the good fight of faith. And you fight it with the Word of God. And you fight it with the Spirit of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, praise God. But it's a spiritual battle. And we fight spiritual battles with the Spirit of God. But we have so suppressed and so quenched the Spirit of God that the power of God has been abandoned in our life. We no longer notice His influential power. I believe some have been on the brink, if not already crossed the deadline, out of where God's turned them over to a reprobate mind after the destruction of their flesh. God's done turned them over. And if you're not careful, if you keep suppressing and quit, somebody right now is thinking, that had never happened to me. And ma'am and sir, you're the exact ones it's going to happen to. Amen. Why else? Amen, friend. Why else would you be in the situation you're in thinking what the man of God says Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night doesn't apply to you? It's for older people, or it's for younger people, or it's for white people, or it's for black people, and it's not for me. I tell you why. Because you've been deceived and you've been duped. Amen. And the devil's got you right where he wants you, and he's on the inside of you, and he's got his stronghold, and that's why you can watch what you watch on television. That's why you can put your naked pictures on Facebook, and that's why you can get undressed in front of him, and that's why you can let her touch you the way she does. That's why you can smoke what you smoke, and you can drink what you drink, and that's why you can think the way you do and go the places you go. Because of power, and God intended for you to live this life in. He told those disciples in Acts chapter 2, he said, don't you move a muscle until you get the power of God on you. The only thing them disciples did in that 40 days is they ruined one man's life. And they severely hindered another man. You got blood on your shirt, I'm going to pay for you a new shirt. The church is going to pay for you a new shirt. What they did is they ruined old Matthias. And for all of Paul's ministry, everywhere he went, he always had to reiterate the fact, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Paul, an apostle. You read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You read where Paul always has to say, remind them, I'm an apostle. I'm the one. I'm the apostle born out of due time. I'm the one God chose. The only thing they did in the flesh, and some of us have been living, attempting to live the Christian life in the flesh for so long now that we wouldn't know what it was like to feel the Holy Ghost prodding us. I'm done preaching. I'm glad, Brother Brian. Those thoughts come in my head. But I'm glad that there's something else on the inside of me that's screaming at me. It seems like screaming at me. If you could stand in my face and scream as loud as you could, and it wouldn't be screaming as loud as God screams at me sometimes. And says, no! No, you don't want to do that! You'll ruin your life if you do that! I don't want you to do that! Does that happen? Does that happen to y'all? If not, you might just be worshiping the devil in the temple and committing an abomination of desolation in your life. I'm praying tonight, God, help me never to do that. Let's stand for prayer.